Hello and welcome to the Weekend Catch-Up Podcast. This is the podcast where we get you caught up on all things tech, pop culture, and trending news. I'm Isaac, joined by my wonderful wife and co-host, Bree.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
You had a good week?
Yeah, I did have a good week.
Cool.
I did have a good week. This week went by really fast, actually.
Really?
We have a vacation coming up, and I was worried it was going to be really slow, but it didn't go very super slow. It was great.
Yeah, it's gone pretty nice. We actually have a really fun episode of stuff to talk about this week.
Looking... I mean, the middle one.
Well, the middle one is sad, but it's celebrating a life well lived,
yes.
I would say. So we are acknowledging the passing of a civil rights icon, but we are looking at some other topics that are pretty interesting in terms of pop culture. So buckle in for that. But first, let's talk about...
Buckle up, buttercups.
Buckle up, buttercups.
Yes.
Let's talk about our weeks in pop culture first. Bree, what'd you do?
Okay, so Week in Pop Culture has been interesting this week. We got Spotify Duo, so it's new, right? Spotify Duo is new.
Yes.
Because we haven't had it. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like you can share an account. You pay a little bit more to share like an account as a family.
Right.
So we haven't wanted to pay for two Spotify accounts. So I've just been like hopping on Isaac's Spotify whenever I wanted to.
Perpetually destroying my...
I'm sorry.
Discover Weekly playlist.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, but the way that it works now is that it goes back to whatever your unpaid account was. So I had a free account that I just have never used because you can't skip songs.
Okay.
So I've never used it.
Okay.
So when I want to listen to music, I hop on Isaac's.
We
fight over it.
Yeah.
And then one of us ends up listening to podcasts, which is usually me.
I'll be skating and then I'll hear either a podcast hop on because Bree's on the account, or I'll hear Dixie Chicks hop on, which is...
Nope, they're the Chicks now, remember?
Okay, the Chicks. But there are two things. There are the chicks or a podcast. So,
well, sorry, I had to get my notes because I've been screenshotting things. So anyway, I get on my Spotify that is pretty old. It's probably from, I mean, the last I probably got on it was 2016.
So like end of college.
End of college.
Yeah.
We were super busy at the end of college and we were getting married a month after we graduated, both of us.
Right.
We graduated at the same time. So everything on here is Vitamin String Quartet.
There you go. Because you were like, you were demoing wedding music
ideas. I was demoing wedding music ideas, and I wanted to do like pop culture versions of popular songs,
sure,
but you know, the Vitamin String Quartet.
Yes.
So it's all of that except for like three things. Hang on, let me find it.
Okay.
Main one being a playlist titled Hot Jams.
Hot Jams with a Z.
With a Z.
Yes.
The only song on there was Wannabe Spice Girls. So an entire playlist dedicated to a single song by the Spice Girls, but I named it Hot Jams
now,
with a Z.
Did you do this because at the time Spotify Free would only let you like shuffle playlists, so if you
that
wanted to hear a specific song, you did that one song on the playlist?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I don't know why I can't remember liking that song enough that I would make a specific playlist for it, because when you make a playlist on Spotify, it titles it that song name first.
And you went in and changed it.
I went in and changed it to Hot Jams with a Z.
Incredible.
So
incredible.
It was a lot of that. And then I had one that had, let's see, there's three Vitamin String Quartets on here.
Yes.
A weird remix by Han Solo.
Okay.
Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac, and This Is Halloween from, what's that movie?
A Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a whole playlist.
You were considering putting in
This Is All My Liked Songs.
In our wedding?
I don't know. It's a Vitamin String Quartet of This Is Halloween. Maybe I just liked it. But that's all my liked songs.
That's incredible.
That's it. It's six songs.
These are the six songs that you care about.
Yes.
This holds
evidently
true to this day, 4 years later.
I'm going to have to do a lot of work on my Spotify.
Yeah.
I listened to like crappy country music
last night. No music is crappy. If you like it,
it is
not crappy.
But it is.
I maintain that people need to get over the shaming of music tastes.
I like...
If you want to listen to Wannabe by Spice Girls.
I don't know why that was a specific
800
playlist.
Times. That is your business.
Of everything that wouldn't even be on like my top 50 songs, and
to
have that be a single song.
We need to add that to Real FM as a new song this week.
That's what
Wannabe
said.
By Spice Girls.
When I posted it in the Real FM group, I was like, guys, what is happening.
That's amazing. Here. Quick yes. plug on that for the Real FM Insiders group. Join us on Facebook at Real FM Insiders because you can hop in and talk about Bree's taste for Spice Girls.
We have fun.
We have fun.
We have fun. What about your week in pop culture?
Yeah, it's been really underwhelming. I haven't been on it. Like, I haven't been participating in pop culture.
What do you mean?
So I reached kind
I'm
of this...
I'm asking you this. I live with you. I know.
Yes.
I know
Bree,
the answer.
Bree lived with me as I lived through this big crisis.
Okay.
Tell us about
your crisis, where we went to Target.
Tell us how it feels. I reached a point where I looked at Twitter, which was a mistake in the first place.
Yep.
And in the middle of it, I was just getting mad. And I thought to myself, every time I've opened the Twitter app, I have been more angry than I was before. And I just thought to myself, why am I doing this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close this out. Then I thought, better yet, I'm just going to log this out and have the only social media accounts on my phone tied to work. So managing Real FM's social media, managing KLRC's social media, it's our sister station. And I thought, okay, like I'll just hop out and not participate in this and I'll read. We went to Target and I bought a Kindle.
Yeah.
And I've already read two books now.
It's on sale.
It was great. And I really feel good now. And this like weekend catch up has been my only experience in even looking at what's happened in the last week. So I actually am excited about, I'm always excited, but like,
that's exciting. So you've read a book.
Yeah, I've read a book and through weekend catch up, I'm actually truly getting the pop culture news alongside you by providing it because I haven't known what's going on this week either. So it's
I picked some good topics. So
yeah. Bree picked the topics this week.
I did.
Because again, I am on like a small
sabbatical,
like sanity sabbatical. Yeah. So it's been good.
Do you want to talk about the Target thing with the button?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So this is,
we were both really traumatized.
This is tied to my pop culture sabbatical. We were at Target and in the electronic
Kindle.
Yes. In the electronic section, there is this little button where it was like, press for assistance. We pressed it and this disembodied robotic voice was like, an assistant will be with you in 60 seconds or less. And we were like, oh God, why does it,
like, it doesn't have to be that.
Why do
quick?
They have to have a countdown timer? And sure enough, this guy hustled up from the back.
He ran.
He's like sweating. And we're like, dude,
ran.
I'm so sorry. It's okay. And he's like, no, it's fine. I was in the bathroom and I was like, buddy, no.
Apparently this is like a rule
that
they all have to be there within 60 seconds.
It's very sad.
Guys, we don't, it can be like at least 3 to 5 minutes and I would be fine.
That's, yeah.
Seriously. It does not have to be 60 seconds.
Indefinitely, if it means no one is suffering the expense of a robot screaming at him. I don't know. That's
I can
not
imagine if it was so scary on our end, what it's like on their end.
Right? That's been my week in pop culture, being outside of it. So let's jump in and get caught up together. Bree is in the steering wheel for this episode. She's in this, not even holding it. She's in the steering wheel for this episode.
I'm in the steering wheel.
Let's jump in with topic number one.
Okay, topic number one. Ike, this has been a very important week because Princess Beatrice got married.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Princess Beatrice.
Princess Beatrice.
With no prompting here, sounds like an adorable pet name for someone's like cockatoo.
Yes, it does. So honestly, I didn't know how close she was to the British line, like in the lineage. I didn't know she was as close as she is.
Okay.
So I was honestly kind of surprised. I thought she was like a far off cousin or something, but she's actually a princess. So it is Prince Andrew's daughter. So it's the Queen's granddaughter. So
the
she
Queen's
got married.
Like first granddaughter. Like,
yeah.
Actually,
well, not,
like it's,
not the, like the very,
not
first.
Like, okay. Not the first, but like it's the Queen is her grandma, not
yeah,
great grandma,
the Queen is her grandma,
not grandma
yeah,
removed,
no,
her great grandma,
seriously.
Her grandma.
I know. And I didn't, I thought it was like some far off cousin, some far off relation.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten that far in the crown yet. And I haven't covered.
I like how that's like your way to chart out the royal family.
It kind of is, honestly. So
are you an expert like only up to like the mid 20th century?
Yeah. Like I don't like, okay. So the Queen, she, in the older seasons, like
your
her kids
is
are
like
grown.
Steam leaking out of
I know. I'm like, I don't really know that. I mean, what I really know of the of this British lineage is like way back to like Catherine the Great, and that's kind of it. And then the crown up to a certain point, like 1960,
great,
is kind of what I know. So,
Beatrice is coming out of left field for
Beatrice
this.
Is totally coming out of left field for me. So let me get my notes up. You could have this.
Very an official looking like posture you've taken.
Thank you. So she is One thing that we said, I pulled up a map, so yes. It's got like a British royal
I'll
line of succession.
This on in the video version.
But I don't know how accurate it is because in the article it says she was 9th in line of the throne, and on the little picture it says she's 7th in line of the throne.
Okay.
But anyway, so she got married. She was supposed to get married originally on May 29th, but obviously this year has happened.
Yes, 2020 so, happened to everybody.
Yeah, 2020 has happened. So she got married to a real estate tycoon.
Okay.
Eduardo Mappelli Mazzi.
Love it.
So
very Italian name.
Very Italian. So he's Italian, and he is part of the Italian royal family that's no longer in power because aren't they a democracy?
Yeah, they're a democracy now.
So yeah.
They have like a president and a prime minister.
I don't know how you become a tycoon. Also, that's
I don't know what the line
me.
Of tycoon
what
is.
What is tycoon?
Do you have
what
to sell that? Multiple million-dollar listings before you're a tycoon?
I have never met anybody that was a tycoon, so okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, does his family have like a cool title?
Oh, I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I think they do have a cool title, though. He is the House of Savoy. Yes.
House of Savoy?
Savoy.
Does that, like, the tea people?
I think they're unrelated. Also, I think that's a local business, so. I think Savoy.
Eduardo is like, ah, yes, my tea.
Yeah, I think Savoy is our
in
local,
Arkansas.
Like, two-store chain. But I like how in your head it's bigger than that.
I just, yes. The context that I know it is, tea.
Yeah, no. But anyway, yeah, I bet they thought about that when they were naming it. But
sure.
The best parts about this are obviously the fashion. So she borrowed a vintage dress that they made for the queen back in the day. So it's got these really puffy sleeves. It looks vintage. I mean, it does not look modern at all. And then she wore a diamond fringe tiara that the queen wore on her wedding day, which I saw you highlighting because you also thought that was cool.
Yeah, 1947. She wore a dress from 1947.
It looks like it was made in 1947.
Astonishing that like the dress, I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised that a dress like that makes it to this year because it's
it's high quality.
It's
that
history.
Dress is probably worth the price of a house.
That dress is made with materials that are no longer cultivated from this earth.
Yes, they're not in existence. Yeah, we don't know that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so she got married. They got married on site, I guess, in some chapel or other. I don't know.
you are in charge of this. What do you mean?
Well,
you
I
don't
think
know
that
where
was I didn't
married.
Honestly think that was super important, so I didn't write it down in my notes, but I don't know why I said it. But anyway. Interesting fun fact about this.
Okay.
Because I guess she's so far down the line of succession here. They don't, I mean, when you're like first up, like you're Prince William.
Yeah.
You gotta, I don't know. You gotta be, they're really choosy about who you marry. So I don't feel like they were super choosy with this guy.
Oh, he's a tycoon.
He is a tycoon.
That's good.
Yeah.
I would think that like, hopefully, if I'm a tycoon
okay, so
of
here's,
anything.
Here's where I was going with this. So this guy is divorced, and I always thought that was kind of taboo with
okay.
the royal family
okay.
to marry someone that was divorced.
Okay.
Isn't that a thing?
I don't know. Whatever you know about the royal family, I trusted you with this one. I know less.
Okay, so this guy has a son. So she has
a stepson.
Oh,
she's a mom now.
Yeah, she's a mom now.
Cool.
Guess what the kid's nickname is?
What?
Wolfie.
This gets better and better.
So, yes, I know. So, it seems kind of random, but
Okay, and
there you go.
They got married at the Royal Chapel of All Saints on the grounds of the Royal Lodge. It was attended by a couple's close friends and family, including the bride's grandparents, Queen Elizabeth, and Prince Philip. So, they did have a social distance friendly wedding in accordance with...
The queen looks kind of far from him in the picture. It's really funny.
They're like 30 feet away from this chick. She's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's out there. They've got her in the backyard. That's
in
good,
the
though.
Backyard. Like, in the royal backyard.
It's good, though. If you could be a tycoon of anything, what would you be a tycoon of?
Ooh.
Like
roller coasters?
I would love the idea of like... local skate park tycoon Ike Weaver marries real estate tycoon Brie Bell. Like, that's
no,
just
I am a roller coaster tycoon. Yeah.
Roller coaster tycoon.
That's all I think of when I hear the word tycoon.
Yeah, right?
So.
What's neat, one last thing before we jump out of here that I read was kind of cool. This crown that she wore, that she borrowed from the queen, the tiara, actually can
I've
be...
I've never heard you say the word tiara and you said it really weird.
Tiara. Tiara? Tiara? Tiara.
Tiara?
Tiara. That's an ASMR version for the tiara.
I don't know. Maybe it's your River Valley accent.
It pops out of the crown and becomes a necklace. It like transforms.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Show me a picture.
I read this whole thing about, there's a website called
orderofsplendor.com.
Yeah, this thing, like the tiara transforms and it can be made into a necklace. Isn't that cool?
How? I'm not seeing any pictures of the necklace.
It can basically be like unsheathed from the crown and like tied around as a necklace. The diamonds on it. Isn't that neat?
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool. Transformers, royal family crown. That's
very nice. Very nice. One thing that I want to mention real quick, the line of succession. One thing that I found out that was really cool in past, yes, looking up the royal line of succession, because I've done this several times.
Yes.
Is that the queen.
What are you
Elizabeth
like trying
II,
to make an angle? Are you trying to get in there?
No. No. I'm trying to understand Meghan Markle, honestly.
Okay.
So, yes. The Queen Elizabeth II. So she's the main queen.
Yeah.
She's the queen.
The main queen.
The main queen. So she passed a law after her granddaughter was born, who I don't know her name. Google it real quick for me. So her granddaughter was born. She has a grandson. After her granddaughter was born, she made it a law, which it hasn't been before, that the girls were not to be skipped over in the line of succession. So it's going to be, she put her, she basically put her own grandson, Prince Harry, she put him back to have the her great granddaughter be in line first.
I'm more confused than I was before we talked about this. But okay.
Why?
That sounds good.
Cool. Yeah.
Great.
Which I think is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I
get
okay.
it. Yeah. So, well, they're not skipping over the girls now, which is great.
Right. Okay. Yes. Cool. Great.
It's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of very cool, we're going to look at a very cool historical figure for topic number two. John Lewis, the congressman and civil rights icon, has passed away at age 80. This guy, and I'm embarrassed at my lack of knowledge about this guy, because reading about him was just incredible. So he was represented Atlanta since he was elected to Congress in 1986. He was one of the highest profile members of the House and the longest serving member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Just going to read off some incredible facts about this guy. He participated in the March on Selma. He was one of the leaders of the roughly 600 protesters who participated in the 1965 Selma to Montgomery March for full voting rights for Black Americans. Protesters only made it to the Edmund Pettus Bridge heading out of Selma on March 7th before they encountered law enforcement, who told them to stop. The state troopers beat protesters using clubs and tear gas. Among the injured he had a fractured skull. And here's the wild thing. He was also present and gave speeches in the March on Washington in 63, where Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech. Lewis's official biography notes that this guy was arrested more than 40 times as he worked on the civil rights movement. And I'm going to also say, this guy wasn't arrested in like 2016. He was arrested as a Black guy in the civil rights era, which, you know, shocker to nobody, they could have just disappeared people back then, and they did. So the fact that this guy literally put his life on the line for racial justice in America is incredible. He even had one of these tweets that they pulled from July 7th before he passed. It says, 59 years ago today, I was released from the Parchman Farm Penitentiary after being arrested in Jackson, Mississippi for using a so-called white restroom during the Freedom Rides of 61. So,
and it shows his mugshot.
Yeah, and he's smirking in the mugshot. I love this guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, being a Black man arrested in Jackson, Mississippi in 1961 was literally a threat to your life.
Yeah.
And this guy put himself on the line repeatedly. And we lost a huge figure in the...
He has a bunch of awards and a bunch of honorary degrees. And one of his awards was the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah. Awarded by Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, yeah.
Yep. Over 50 honorary degrees from colleges and universities. But yeah, this guy was just an iconic figure.
Amazing.
In history. And it's wild that it took a death for me to shamefully, you know, finally read about him. But
well, and it said that he's one of the big six leaders of the civil rights movement. And I've never heard of him or four other of them.
Yeah. But
three other.
A cool thing that if you want to research more about him in kind of a really neat way, he actually authored a book, a graphic novel series called March, in which he talks about his experiences as being a civil rights leader. So this is
a graphic novel. Isn't that pictures?
Yeah, it's effectively like a comic. It's kind of like another term
That's cool.
Yeah, so yeah. You can check out March. It's everywhere books are sold. It's a really cool. I've even thumbed through like a few versions of like the digital stuff that's on the web from it. Looks amazing. So check out March, authored by John Lewis. Yeah, died at 80 years old, leading an incredible life dedicated towards justice.
He never let up either.
No.
I mean, years and years and years and years, and then he becomes a congressman. So, yep. I mean, that political journey alone, that's like a lifetime legacy of working hard for Black rights. It's insane. I mean, he's an amazing person.
And related to this passing, you had tributes all around from other politicians and celebrities. One of them was a huge gaffe because Senator Marco Rubio posted a picture of him and Elijah Cummings, another politician who passed away, who, I mean, like, was an older Black guy that I think Rubio just looked at and said, yeah, that's him, and didn't even think about it. But yeah, Rubio posted
a... Do you think it was him actually tweeting it, or do you think it was an assistant or something?
I am 99.9% sure that was Marco Rubio tweeting that. That's...
What?
I'm just going to say that.
An assistant wouldn't make that mistake.
The tweet says, it was an honor to know and be blessed with the opportunity to serve in Congress with John Lewis, a genuine and historic American hero. May the Lord grant him eternal peace. The photo attached, which only lasted for 20 minutes on Twitter, then was deleted, was a photo of Marco Rubio and Elijah Cummings. So, yeah, there you go. Way to go. The internet obviously went in on that because they should. That was ridiculous.
Yes.
Do your research and don't just post a photo of you and an old Black guy. That's topic number two. We lost an iconic figure in civil rights, and we hope to, in whatever way we can, follow his example as American citizens and exercise our voices.
Watch some documentaries, guys, this weekend.
That's right.
Watch a documentary.
Read March about this guy's story. He's an incredible guy.
It's time we educate ourselves. Seriously,
yes, please.
You and me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of education.
Oh my God, folks, the transitions. Speaking of education, that was masterful. You can just have this podcast now.
I'm handing over the podcast keys to you.
It's the whole point of podcasting. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right.
Speaking of education, a college student recently pleaded to retake her online exam after a meatball fell out of her sandwich while she was taking a test and logged her out early, prompting her to sit down for 6 hours to write an email to her professor, figuring out how to explain, a meatball fell out of my sandwich, hit
and
the escape
key.
Logged me out of the test.
She got a 39% on her first try.
Absolutely wild. So the story was from Sam Lee, a junior at the University of Georgia, and she said her professor kindly gave her another shot to finish her economics exam after this meatball sub incident locked her out prematurely, giving her a failing grade. I just love the term meatball sub incident. That evokes so many questions. Like, how hard would a meatball have to fall out of a sandwich to hit an escape key on a laptop? Because like
meatballs are heavy.
That had to have been a dense meatball. That was a crater of a meatball.
I think meatballs as a meatball is dense.
Yeah.
Yes?
Especially like I'm a big fan of the Subway meatball sandwich.
Ew.
To the point where like at my local Subway growing up, I was the only person who ate it. And I remember distinctly one time I ordered it and the guy behind the counter was like, dude, this has been sitting here since the last time you came in. And I was like,
ew.
Come on, throw it on the sandwich. I don't even care. Put some mozzarella cheese on it. It was like a meatball sandwich pizza. It was delicious.
That's disgusting.
I stand by it. I'm a grown boy. Gotta have my meatball sandwiches. No, but I remember.
You don't still eat there.
I remember that feeling viscerally of him looking at me and just the earnest plea of do not eat this, please. And
stop.
I was like, do it. Put it on the sandwich and toast it. Shout out to toasted meatball marinara sandwiches from Subway.
Ew.
But she posted a photo of it and I'm 99% sure that's what homegirl is eating. So shout out to my other meatball connoisseurs. We know what real class is here. The cool thing here is that her professor really did respond in kind of a cool way. She attached a screenshot of the email. He says, Samantha, well, this is certainly a new and unusual excuse for a low score, but for that reason, it seems unlikely you've made this up. I've extended your deadline for the Module 6 test until midnight tonight. You should be able to go back and take the test and finish it. He says, you can decide, of course, to drop your low score. I would also recommend that you take the test either before or after dinner, not while you're eating.
There
which,
you go.
What's really funny is that people are big mad in the comment section that she was eating during a test. And
what?
I'm like, guys,
who cares?
We're all home right now. Eat during a test. Eat during work. Eat while you're on a Zoom call. There's no rules anymore. It's
no,
fine.
No, it's fine.
Jungle law. We're all working from home. I'm not wearing pants right now. It's fine. Whatever. Go for it. You know what? On our next podcast next week, I'm going to get a big meatball sub and I'm just going to be chowing
Please
down on it.
Please don't eat meatballs
while we're doing
next
it.
To me.
We're going
to
do it.
That's our disgusting. Podcast for this week. You guys, stay safe. Wear your mask. Wear your dang mask.
Wear your mask. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Wear your mask. We'll talk to you guys next week.